This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Americans' continued worries about jobs and the economy, along with a decreasing belief that Iraq posed an immediate threat to the U.S., has weakened support for George W. Bush and given his Democratic opponents an advantage. Most Americans also believe that the Bush administration exaggerated the pre-war intelligence about Iraqi weapons and that Bush's self-described status as a war president was brought on by his own choices, not forced upon him by world events. Registered voters now give a 5-point lead to an unnamed Democratic candidate over George W. Bush. By 47% to 42%, registered voters now say they would support a Democrat over the Republican president. A student group at Roger Williams University in Rhode Island is offering a new scholarship for which only white students are eligible, a move they say is designed to protest affirmative action. The application for the $50 award requires an essay on why you are proud of your white heritage and a recent picture to confirm whiteness. Evidence of bleaching will disqualify applicants, says the application, issued by the university's College Republicans. It's not the first brush with controversy for the group. The school temporarily froze the Republicans' money in the fall during a fight over a series of articles published in its monthly newsletter. One article alleged that a gay rights group indoctrinates students into homosexual sex. British medical experts expressed concern on Monday at a new and apparently legal trend towards snorting alcohol, using a tube in the mouth in order to inhale the drug. Oliver James, head of a clinical medical services at Newcastle University, said by snorting the alcohol, it can go directly into the brain without being filtered by the liver. What is getting into your brain could be the equivalent of many times more than by drinking it, said the professor. Those using a new device known as an alcohol without liquid, AWOL vaporizer, would get drunk more quickly, but would also suffer irreversible damage to nerves that could lead to swelling and possibly dementia in the longer term, said James. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
You can now have your very own Navy F/A-18A Hornet jet fighter, but some assembly may be required. The price for the jet, which formerly belonged to the Navy's Blue Angels aerial demonstration team, is just over $1 million on the auction firm eBay, or about $9 million for a buyer who wants it assembled, painted, and certified ready to fly. Only legal U.S. residents can bid. The auction is scheduled to end Thursday. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich. And they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting. This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
Tia Carrera is on the front. In Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
So much to figure out and so little time. The primary in Wisconsin today. John Kerry seems to be ahead. We have a situation now where here on day 217, since the traitor, the treasonous traitor in the White House, outed Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson, the former senior, the most senior American diplomat in Iraq. Somehow this is very often missed in the news, the fact that Joe Wilson was our diplomat in Iraq. And prior to that, during the Clinton administration, he had worked in Africa and was in a good position to know the difference, you know, to understand Iraqi relations with Africa and where's the uranium and who's got what and all that. And so anyhow, here we are, 217 days. Just to keep the record straight, 271 days since we started looking for the so-called weapons of mass destruction, the rationale that this government, it's not this government. There's many good people in this government. That the Bush administration, and it's so important, whenever you hear George Bush or the Bush administration referring to themselves as the government, no, it's more propaganda, partisan propaganda. The government and the administration are separate. The administration simply happens to be, to some extent, in charge of the government at the moment. But the 271 days ago, George Bush and friends told us that there was such an imminent threat in Iraq that we should allow thousands of our young men and women to die, to be harmed. I don't know if you saw this report. It was about 3 days ago. I had it in my stack. We never got to it. I don't have it right in front of me right now. But the way that they're counting deaths in Iraq, if somebody dies right there on the spot, it's considered a death. If they're wounded and they're taken away to the hospital and they die the next day, it's not counted as a death. If they're wounded and they come back to and they go to Rheinstein Air Force Base in Germany or they come back to the United States to Walter Reed Hospital, they die there, it's not counted as a death. And so this 500 and some odd number, some folks who are trying to get the figures are suggesting that more than 1,000 Americans have died. But even if it's one, Well, we freed 24 million people. We did. 60% of Iraqis now, in a survey that was conducted last week, don't want us there. Don't consider themselves freed. Think that things are worse than they were before. I mean, but anyhow, so it's been 217 days, 857 days since Joe Wilson's wife was outed, 857 days since the anthrax attack, 878 days since Osama bin Laden wanted dead or alive. But let's get back to this Valerie Plame thing just very briefly. We have, of course, somebody in the White House, some senior administration official, who has committed a high crime and misdemeanor in the constitutional sense, that is to say, a felony. Treason! And will that person be found? Well, of course, George Bush told us.
And I don't know. We're going to find out. The senior administration official.
Now, he doesn't know a lot of things. He doesn't know if we're going to find out, you know, where he was when he was in the National Guard.
Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah, it was a large National Guard, too. Anyhow, the Capitol Hill blew a site apparently funded by the Republicans, oddly enough. An interesting article here from CapitolHillBlue.com. Federal law enforcement officials, this article by Richard Sale, hard evidence shows Cheney's staff outed CIA operative. I'm telling you, I've been telling you for a year now, George Bush is going to replace Dick Cheney on the ticket, most likely with Rudy Giuliani. And here's another nail in the coffin, as it were, of Dick Cheney's candidacy for vice president. Federal law enforcement officials said that they have developed hard evidence of possible criminal misconduct by two employees of Vice President Dick Cheney's office related to the unlawful exposure of a CIA officer's identity last year. Now, if you think that the two top officials in Dick Cheney's office pulled off something like this and he knew nothing about it, I've got a bridge to sell you. The investigation, which is continuing, could lead to indictments, a Justice Department official said. According to these sources, John Hanna and Cheney's chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby, were the two Cheney employees. One federal law enforcement officer said, quote, "We believe that Hanna was the major player in this," end quote. Of course, calls to the vice president's office were not returned, nor did Hanna and Libby return calls. Gee, what a surprise. Apparently, the strategy of the FBI is to make clear to Hanna, quote, that he faces the real possibility of doing jail time, end quote, as a way to pressure him to name superiors, one federal law enforcement official said. So, you know, Joe Wilson was pretty sure that it was Karl Rove whose fingerprints were all over this. It may turn out to be Dick Cheney. Very interesting. Well, the right-wing smear machine is, you know, been continuing in full tilt boogie. Going after John Kerry, saying, oh, yeah, he's just another one of them Democrats. You never can trust them Democrats. They like sex. Terrible thing. John Kerry linked up with a woman, Alexandra Pollier, not sure how she pronounces it, is her name, and saying, oh, she's fled to Africa. You've heard all the right-wing wackos going on and on and on about this on the radio for ever since Matt Drudge, appropriate name, drudged this thing out of the sewer and threw it out. Well, she has responded. And I'll just share the story with you. This is just straight and clean. Here it is. A woman who has been the subject of rumors linking her to Senator John Kerry denied Monday that she ever had an affair with the Democratic presidential candidate, breaking her silence 4 days after the allegations surfaced on the Internet. Alexandra Pollier issued a statement to the Associated Press saying, quote, "I have never had a relationship with Senator Kerry, and the rumors in the press are completely false," end quote. Kerry already, of course, has denied reports that he had an extramarital affair. On Monday, his campaign said he would have no further comment. Pollier's statement was released to the Associated Press in Nairobi, where the 27-year-old freelance journalist is visiting the parents of her fiancé, Yaron Schwartzman, an Israeli who was raised in Kenya. She previously worked as an editorial assistant for the AP in New York. She said, and I quote, "Whoever is spreading these rumors and allegations does not know me," end quote, and appealed to the media to respect her privacy and the privacy of her fiancé and his family. She took issue with reports that referred to her as a former Kerry intern. She told the Associated Press, quote, "I never interned or worked for John Kerry." In a separate statement, her parents, Terry and Donna Polier of Malvern, Pennsylvania, said that these reports were, quote, "completely false and unsubstantiated," end quote. You will recall, by the way, Faux News and some of the other right-wingers the other day had been saying that the Polier father thought that John Kerry was despicable or whatever. Well, here's the quote, actually, that their parents contacted the Associated Press and said, here, and I quote, "We love and support her 100%, and these unfounded rumors are hurtful to our entire family. We appreciate the way Senator Kerry has handled the situation and intend on voting for him for President of the United States," end quote. Regarding her silence until now, Polier said, quote, "Because these stories were false, I assumed the media would ignore them. It seems that efforts to peddle these lies continue, so I felt compelled to address them." Lies, she says. Well, of course, the folks on the right are going to say, well, yeah, we heard that same thing from Bill Clinton about Monica Lewinsky. And isn't it a tragedy that when you've got 40 million people without health insurance, you've got 30 million people who are underemployed, that almost a tenth of all the Americans who would like to have a job can't find one, that people can't pay their heating bills, they're terrified of getting sick, they're mortgaging, they're remortgaging and remortgaging their homes to send their kids to school or just to get by, as the country is sliding into the abyss, this kind of thing is what these folks on the right have to serve up to the American people. I mean, the fact that it is apparently entirely unsubstantiated, entirely just phony and lies, is bad enough. Even if it were true, I would say this. Let's talk about what's really going on in America, huh? I mean, let's talk about what's really going on in America. The New York Times reports Vice President Bush this weekend visited Florida. This is from the Center for American Progress. Using the guise, he did it again, folks. He did it again. George Bush does another campaign trip that you paid for, you and me. The New York Times reports President Bush this weekend visiting Florida using the guise of an official economic event to force taxpayers to pay for clearly campaign-related activities. Specifically, Bush made an appearance at the Daytona 500 NASCAR race on Sunday and then held an economic, quote, conversation with, quote, a few carefully selected workers, end quote, at a Tampa business. To highlight just how brazen the administration has become in mixing politics and policy and billing taxpayers for the cost. Now, get this. I mean, they're saying this is an official government trip. That $57,000 an hour it cost to run Air Force One and all its security and all these people and all the millions of dollars that you and I paid so that George Bush could go to Florida to NASCAR was actually official because he met with a couple of folks and talked about economics. A couple of average folks. Yeah. I made an official visit. And then the Republican National Committee, get this, the RNC, actually issued a press release. No, this isn't political. It's just coming from the Republican National Committee saying, quote, RNC volunteers flooded the Daytona International Speedway in an unprecedented grassroots effort to register fans to vote and support the Republican Party. End quote. All this during his official taxpayer-funded visit. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to clean this thing up? We have such a dirty, filthy mess in Washington, D.C. It's not limited entirely to the Republicans by any means. But boy, this guy has turned it into an art form. This is Tom Hartman, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. 20 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
a... Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar. I am following the river down the highway through the cradle of the Civil War. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, the Memphis.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Today, the 17th of February, Tuesday. Interesting day. It's election results in Wisconsin tonight are going to be coming in. We'll see what happens. Howard Dean has lost another member of his staff, unfortunately. But he points out, correctly, he has the second largest number of delegates. And that's the name of the game, ultimately. Although I suspect that the pundits who are saying this is Kerry's to lose, as they were saying at one point it was Dean's to lose, are right. And I don't think that Kerry is going to make I hate to call it a mistake, but politics is politics. The mistake of going on national TV and saying that he's going to break up the big media conglomerates like Howard Dean did. Anyhow, President Bush has said one of the vital aspects of the tax relief plan was that it helped to provide small businesses with tax relief. And the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities says, sorry, George. See, this was part of his pitch while he was down in Florida down there. All right, we're going to help these small businesses. That's, we got to make these tax cuts permanent because they help small businesses. Well, it turns out that 96% of small businesses get no benefit whatsoever. Zero. Small business owners would be far more likely to receive no tax reduction whatsoever from the administration's tax package, according to the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. And it just goes, you know, it's just the... At the same time Bush was in Florida, you had Cheney down in New Mexico saying to the New Mexicans, the Bush tax cuts were exactly what this country needed. Congress needs to make the Bush tax cuts permanent. Unfortunately, as the Center for American Progress points out, by 2006, 90% of all New Mexicans will receive less than $100 from the administration's latest tax cuts. The top 1% of all New Mexicans, some of whom surely attended the $1,000 a plate Cheney fundraiser, will receive an average tax cut of $41,765. 1-800-TALK, yes, I'm going to get into some job stuff here. 1-800-TALK, yes, Richard in Raleigh, North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, I heard an interview with you on another program, Unwelcome Guest, the other night. That was really interesting. You were talking about corporate personhood. You made a point that I thought was interesting. I just wanted to ask you to clarify because it was just something you mentioned in passing. And it was involving the railroad cases, and there was a case where the railroads were suing and claiming discrimination that certain states or counties could tax them more than others. And I wondered if that was considered discrimination, how is it possible that there are different tax rates in different states and municipalities in the states today?
Well, it's a bogus argument. I mean, you know, it was the basis of the argument that the Southern Pacific Railroad used in 1886. Actually, it was argued in 1885 before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court rejected it. Morrison Remick Waite, in a handwritten note to the chief, clerk of the court, John Chandler Bancroft Davis, which is on my website. You can find it. You go to unequalprotection.com or TomHartman.com and click on unequal protection or corporate dominance. Said, you know, we didn't rule on the constitutional issues. You read the actual case, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, and they never concluded that corporations were persons. But the reporter of the court, in a commentary, a head note, said corporations are persons. And that kicked open the door to 100 years of more, 120 years of mind-boggling corruption. I'll give you more details right after this break. It's a shocker what's going on in Humboldt County right now. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Wabnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Wabnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
With me, I used to be. I want to see this through. I left for me, I used to be. If only you'd see it too. Well, I wonder what you become. You pull me back when I try to run. Well,
here in the middle of the vast radical middle conspiracy. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. Tom Hartman here. Take no imitations, my friends. Okay, Richard in Raleigh, North Carolina. We were talking about corporate personhood. What many of our listeners probably don't realize is that corporations have the status under the Bill of Rights many of the rights of human beings, which is not what our founders intended, and is the direct result of an 1886 Supreme Court decision called Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, in which the court did not decide that corporations should have those rights, but the clerk of the court wrote into the commentary on the case, called a headnote, that was what the court had decided, contradicting the decision itself. And courts since then, and corporations since then, have pointed to the commentary instead of the case. Now, I realize this sounds all weird and kind of arcane legal stuff, but this is the linchpin. This is the foundation of corporate power in America. I wrote a book about this called Unequal Protection that just lays it out, exposes the whole thing. And I don't know which interview you were hearing the other day. I've done a lot of radio shows on this topic. But anyhow, you had a question about that. You want to continue?
Right. Well, I thought it was especially interesting. I haven't had a chance to read your book, but I've read a lot of your articles that you've written on it, and I've listened to your show since it started. But I thought it was really interesting. You pointed out that corporations were actually given personhood under the law before African Americans and women were even granted full citizenship.
Yeah, these were incredible ironies. It was 1873 was when Sarah Bradwell went before the Supreme Court and argued that she should have rights as a woman. In the Bradwell versus State of Illinois case, and the court said no, and women didn't get full rights, relatively speaking, under the Constitution until 1920, and the Equal Rights Amendment has never been passed. It has not been ratified by all the states, and African Americans, of course, in 1896 was the Ferguson Plessy versus Ferguson case that established separate but equal, and that didn't get struck down until 1954, Brown versus Board of Education. So and women got most, at least equal rights under the Bill of Rights, privacy rights, Fourth Amendment privacy rights in 1973 in Roe versus Wade. But corporations got all their rights back in 1886. Amazing.
Yep. I guess that'll do it for today, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the consequence of that. The consequence of that is that it used to be that it was illegal for corporations to participate in politics. You get that? I mean, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. It was the law in the United States for well over 100 years. It was called bribery and influencing. Corporations and their corporate and agents of corporations, employees of corporations, anybody doing anything on behalf of a corporate. See, the idea was that government is here for we the people, and corporations are there for making money, and we the people will provide an environment in which corporations can make money. We'll provide them with a stable court system and a stable currency and an educated workforce and roads and telephone rights of way and things like that we the people actually pay for and own. We'll take care of that, and you guys go out and make some money and just don't mess in our business, huh? Don't mess in the business of we the people. Don't mess in democracy. That's a sacred thing. And it used to be that it was just plain old flat out against the law for corporations to give money to politicians, to try to influence politicians. What today we call lobbying used to be called influencing. Today what we call campaign contributions used to be called bribes. For the majority of the existence of the United States of America. You've heard me read the law before. This Wisconsin law. I won't do it again. I know some of you are, every couple months we'll get around to it because we bring on new stations and new listeners all the time. But the law that says any representative of any corporation cannot, and there's 3 years in prison for anybody trying to do this. And so anyhow, here we have this, corporate personhood has created some very bizarre non sequiturs, I guess is the best. I don't have a good word for them. For example, if a corporation is a person, then why is it, and it's illegal for a person to own another person, that is, we outlawed slavery, then why is it legal for a corporation to own another corporation? If a corporation is a person, then why can't it vote? I mean, you get the absurd of this right off the bat, and yet Nike went to the Supreme Court in April of last year and argued that they had the right to lie to people because the First Amendment guarantees persons the right of free speech. J.C. Penney went before the Supreme Court in 1936 and argued that they had the right to go into communities that did not want large chain stores in their communities. Specifically, it was J.C. Penney versus the state of Florida. Because the 14th Amendment, which was written to free the slaves, says that you can't discriminate against persons. And J.C. Penney said, hey, they're discriminating against us, this big person, because we're bigger than the local companies. And that case was one of the main things that has allowed Walmart to inhale America. Dow Chemical Company went before the Supreme Court and said that the Environmental Protection Agency doesn't have the right to pull surprise inspections on their chemical plants looking for violations of the law because as a person they have Fourth Amendment privacy rights. I mean, it's getting pretty strange. And here now we have a corporation in Humboldt County. Ralph Nader wrote a great op-ed piece about this that was on Common Dreams yesterday. The headline of Ralph Nader's piece, Law-Breaking Logging Giant Bankrolls Recall Campaign of Prosecutor. And one of our listeners had sent me an email about this, which was very articulate, a real nice delineation of it. But I didn't know if he wrote it or if he was quoting from a news story, so I sent him back a note saying, you know, I've got to have some kind of a reference on this. I can't just read something from somebody who sent me an email as if it was a news story without some independent corroboration. And so he sent me a whole bunch of links, and I got it. This thing is really happening. And it's happening in the backyard of one of the stations that carries this program. Here you've got this district attorney. I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. If anybody wants to call and tell me, it looks like it's Gallegos. Maybe it's Gallegos. I don't know. Paul, G-A-L-L-E-G-O-S. He was just recently elected as the district attorney. And so he goes after Maxim Pacific Lumber. Great big huge corporation. And he's prosecuting them. For fraud. They filed a false timber harvest plan, according to him, and according to this article by Ralph Nader, in order to obtain a global logging permit for their property. The company, he charges, quoting from Nader, had information about the environmental impact of their logging proposal that they were legally obligated to give to the California authorities, but did not. And the guy from the Department of Forestry, Richard Wilson, he said, hey, if I had known about this, I never would have given them the permit. So you got this corporation, and you got a crusading prosecutor who is going after them for fraud. So what does the corporation do? They have hired a company that goes out and gets signatures, shades of the California gubernatorial recall. It goes out and gets signatures to have a special election to recall this guy. And replace him with somebody who's friendly to this corporation. They're paying $8 a head. $8 a head. The local newspaper, the Times Standard, is not supporting Gallegos. Quoting Ralph Nader again, who wryly notes that Pacific Lumber is a big advertiser and a full-page ad costs $3,000. Again, Nader says, known for playing hardball, Pacific Lumber is scaring its hundreds of workers into complaining about the lawsuit and its impact on their jobs. Of course, if the workers owned the company, they would realize that a genuine, sustainable yield would keep their jobs for a much longer time for themselves and their children. Now, this thing is going to happen on March 2nd, about 2 weeks from now. This recall election. And sometime, either before or after that, this attorney general is demanding $230 million from this corporation for their fraud, their alleged fraud, and the resultant damage as a consequence of it. And it's going to be interesting to see, as Nader points out, if the judge will decide this case before or after the date of the recall election. But here you got a recall. But now here's the point that brings us back to Richard from Raleigh, North Carolina's call. Ralph Nader says, it is remarkable what this artificial legal entity called a corporation can get away with. Imagine a real person charged with fraud trying to recall the prosecutor. Can you think about that for a minute? You know, when Giuliani was the district attorney, the prosecuting attorney in New York City, and he went after, you know, a lot of criminals. And if one of those criminals had hundreds of millions or billions of dollars in their back pocket and they went out and hired a company and paid $8 a head, $8 a signature to get votes on a petition to recall Giuliani, and they spent lots and lots of money advertising in the local newspapers, and the local newspapers, by coincidence, said, well, gee, you know, we don't really think Giuliani does all that good a job as a prosecutor. We're not going to support him in this election. Say it was some mafiosi. You know, how long would that guy last? I mean, would that be allowed to stand? Would we let a corporation get away with it? Jay in California has some thoughts on this. Hey, Jay, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm in Eureka, California, which is in Humboldt County.
Ah, you're right in the backyard of all this.
Yeah, I am. And this has been going on for over a year, this recall. They have made the people who are behind it. Well, first of all, the recall, the whole thing was started about 2 days after Paul, and it's pronounced Gallegos.
Gallegos, okay.
Paul Gallegos, the district attorney, made a fraud charge against Pacific, well, actually, it's Talco, as we call it here, Pacific Lumber, which is owned by Maxim, which is headquartered in Houston, Texas. And he filed a $78 million lawsuit against them for defrauding Humboldt County out of taxes. And about 2 days later after that, suddenly there's a recall, and it has turned out that about 90% of the cost of funding the recall and the advertisements and all that has been provided by Palco and through their headquarters in Texas. And
now, aren't people in Humboldt County actually, just going nuts? Aren't they? Aren't people saying, "Hey, what is going on with this?"
Well, people are, and see, this is what's going on. The first two times they attempted to get it on the ballot, they couldn't even get enough signatures. And there's not a very high requirement for enough signatures to get the recall on the ballot, but they failed two times.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, they just squeaked enough in whenever the deadline was for this March 2nd election to get it on the ballot. There's also another component here, and that is there's a group of, like, opportunistic, I would use the term, Republicans here in Humboldt County who are trying to also, you know, ride this thing for what it's worth. And their thing is that they don't like him because he's been a little more sensible about enforcing drug laws. He allows people with medical marijuana permits to have more plants than is typical in most counties.
Mm.
So what they've done is they've seized the opportunity to bring that stuff out, as, you know, and also writing the recall thing that Palco is trying to do. And it's all just this big mess of you know, right-wing wackos. Oh, I shouldn't say it's a big mess. It's a small little group of right-wing wackos that tried to make it look like the tail's wagging the dog, you know, and it's just...
You know, yeah, you know, I can understand somebody saying that, although I disagree with it, that because pot is illegal or because it's a drug or it's immoral, that they can somehow think that that's a morality issue. But how could that, I mean, that just pales in comparison as a morality issue to the issue of clear-cutting redwood forests and creating environmental destruction, and even worse than that, failing to inform officials about it when you're trying to get your permits and things. I mean, you know, corporate fraud... I mean, how can the conservatives talk about morality and not talk about corporate fraud? I don't get it.
You just made the perfect point. And also you have to understand that the federal government's issue with it is different than the local district attorney's issue with it.
Oh, I know. You got Ashcroft coming after these guys, even though it's legal in the state.
Oh, I'm talking more about the fraud put the phony reports out so they could get permits.
Right. Incredible.
The issue of the EA and Humboldt County suing them for the amount of money that they stole from the county.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Jay, thanks for the report. I appreciate it. I'm sorry the music there. We've got to move along. But I do appreciate your call. Well, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 10 minutes before the hour, and we shall return.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy Show.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Come all you good workers, good news to you I'll tell. How the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are
back. Our quote for the day from Abraham Lincoln, or attributed to Abraham Lincoln. There's some dispute about whether he actually wrote this or not. I actually got the quote from a 1930 book of quotes, but here's the quote. Corporations have, as a result of the Civil War, corporations have been enthroned. An era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power will endeavor to prolong its reign by working on the prejudices of the people until wealth is aggregated in a few hands and the republic is destroyed. Attributed to Abraham Lincoln. Mark in Eureka, California has some thoughts on this topic of a defendant in a felony case. I mean, Jimmy Hoffa, they tried to prosecute him for jury tampering. You know, Bobby Kennedy went after him. But here we got a corporation doing it. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Tom. As you know, I live in Eureka. The district attorney for 20 years before Gallegos, his wife was on the county board of supervisors forever. They're very conservative. They people perceived them to be allowing Pacific Lumber to do whatever they wanted, which they did. Gallegos ran on this platform of making the number plans for medical marijuana people the same as the county to the south and the north, Del Norte and Mendocino County. He did that. Week before Gray Davis gets recalled, Gray Davis passed a bill called Senate Bill 420, which finally, after 6 years of Proposition 215, medical marijuana in California, allowed and made a standardized limitation, 8 ounces of dried pot for the people and 6 plants, adult or 12.
Right. Mark, I've got to ask you to hurry it up. We've got about a minute left here.
Okay, so Gallegos, immediately when that got passed, now Gallegos has changed from the higher number to this current state-mandated limit. And Gallegos' thing was when he allowed more plants, he said you can only have a certain amount of watts of electric light in a small area, 10 by 10 area.
Mark, I'm sorry, we've run out of time and it's you've lost me. But I appreciate the call, and hopefully we'll have time to get into it another time. This is Tom Hartman, telling the truth that multinational corporations don't want you to know.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Americans' continued worries about jobs and the economy, along with a decreasing belief that Iraq posed an immediate threat to the U.S., has weakened support for George W. Bush and given his Democratic opponents an advantage. Most Americans also believe that the Bush administration exaggerated the pre-war intelligence about Iraqi weapons and that Bush's self-described status as a war president was brought on by his own choices, not forced upon him by world events. Registered voters now give a 5-point lead to an unnamed Democratic candidate over George W. Bush. By 47% to 42%, registered voters now say they would support a Democrat over the Republican president. A portion of George W. Bush's Air Force officer's qualification test, completed on the 19th of January in 1968, has apparently been altered. The record release shows Bush's pilot aptitude rating on the test at 25, but the original score has been blacked out, not by the Justice Department, but by the U.S. Air Force test control officer who issued the form. The lowest possible score for pilot aptitude, which still allowed for flight training, was 25. Bush's other scores were not so bleak, but taken as a whole only added up to a 65 percentile in total. A student group at Roger Williams University in Rhode Island is offering a new scholarship for which only white students are eligible, a move they say is designed to protest affirmative action. The application for the $50 award requires an essay on why you are proud of your white heritage and a recent picture to confirm whiteness. Evidence of bleaching will disqualify applicants, says the application, issued by the university's College Republicans. It's not the first brush with controversy for the group. The school temporarily froze the Republicans' money in the fall during a fight over a series of articles published in its monthly newsletter. One article alleged that a gay rights group indoctrinates students into homosexual sex. More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
With directions from the internet and an old Russian truck motor, a Vietnamese farmer, Lee Van Dan, fulfilled his dream of making his own helicopter. The job took two friends, 7 years, and $30,000. Now, military officials say he can't fly it because he didn't get approval to build it, and they confiscated the makeshift copter. The helicopter is still a work in progress and only rises about 18 inches off the ground. We're in the process of a fifth test of moving forward and backward, left and right, Don said. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich. And they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting. This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
The look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. Halliburton. Halliburton. Is Halliburton going to be a campaign issue in 2004? Is it already? Is it already? And is this going to be, along with the possibility that Scooter Libby and John Hanna, the two top aides to Dick Cheney, have apparently been implicated in outing Valerie Plame, which might even raise, might even get up to Cheney. Can you see the Vice President of the United States being indicted for treason? It's a scary thought. Anyhow, it's a possibility. But anyhow, here in the New York Times, this article, Halliburton likely to be a campaign issue this fall. At a time, this is what Senator John Kerry's campaign said last week. At a time when Halliburton is defrauding the federal government and facing serious allegations of bribery, we look forward to taking this debate to George Bush. Senator Barbara Boxer, Democrat of California, wrote a letter to Donald Rumsfeld last Friday saying he must, quote, immediately begin suspension or disbarment proceedings against the Halliburton Company, end quote, because of its contracting problems. Tom Daschle has made a similar suggestion. I just consider... Well, here's an ad. This American Family Voices group put this ad together, and it ran in a few markets, maybe 2 months ago or 3 months ago. Perhaps you saw it. It starts out, you just hear the laughter. It starts out with people kind of looking like they're at a cocktail party laughing. And then you get to some visuals of Halliburton. But here's the audio clip of it. And you can hear the folks laughing.
It's become a national joke, but it's not funny. Billions of tax dollars are going directly to Halliburton through sweetheart, no-bid government contracts. Meanwhile, our soldiers are being asked to sacrifice. And here at home, budgets for education, health care, even veterans' benefits are being slashed. Where do you want your tax dollars spent? Let's take care of America's troops and families instead of taking care of Halliburton.
Yeah, well, now here, on it goes. This from the New York Times, this article, Halliburton likely to be campaign issue this fall. A good roundup article, actually, by Joel Brinkley. Here's a quote from Henry Waxman and John Dingell of Michigan, who wrote this letter to Pentagon auditors. And I quote from the letters of Congressman Waxman and Dingell. Two extraordinary men, by the way, in my opinion. Quote, high-level Halliburton officials frequently told employees that the high prices charged by vendors were not a problem. Get this? Halliburton officials told their employees that if their vendors charge high prices, not a problem. Why? Not a problem because the U.S. government would reimburse Halliburton's cost and then pay Halliburton an additional fee. One of the former employees, according to the letter, said, quote, Halliburton motto was, don't worry about price, it's cost plus, end quote. Cost plus is a type of contract that in the world of business is a pretty rare thing, I can tell you. Having spent 30 years in the world of business, you don't find very many cost plus contracts. But in the world of the Department of Defense, they are not all that uncommon. And in the world of Halliburton, I mean, here you had a company that under Dick Cheney set up more than 60, as I recall it was, the number that sticks in my head was 78, but it was more than 60 and fewer than 100 offshore subsidiaries, specifically to evade paying United States income tax. Those subsidiaries are now getting the money to do the work in Iraq and not paying American income taxes on it. When Democrats tried to write into the $87 billion defense appropriation that only companies that paid American income taxes on their profits could do the contracting work in Iraq, Republicans took that out of the language, out of the law. So here you got Cheney. He set up this. He set up all these offshore corporations. Actually, got a tax refund from the government for Halliburton. He basically turned the company into an appendage of the government. I mean, you know, he went out of government into Halliburton, turned Halliburton into, you know, from a relatively small and a relatively unprofitable company into this beast now. But it was actually losing money, you know, in 2001. Halliburton was losing money. One of the reasons why Dick Cheney is still getting between $100,000 and $1 million a year every year in paychecks from Halliburton that was given way back when. Part of it was that he wanted to defer the income so that his taxes could be spread out over time. Although when your tax bracket's over $1 million a year, I mean, it just doesn't make that much difference. The other part of the rationale that was given was that Halliburton wasn't all that profitable back then. Well, they sure are now. They sure are now. Last Friday, Nigeria joined with France. This is the story that, you know, it's not, again, it's the corporate media in the United States is staying away from this story, although it has been reported. It's not like it's a secret. But it was, you know, front page news in France and Le Figaro that Dick Cheney is personally being investigated for the felony crime of bribery. And now Nigeria has gotten into the act. Just last week, they ordered an investigation into accusations that a Halliburton subsidiary paid $180 million in bribes. There's big money at stake here to get a gas contract in Nigeria. Also last week, according to the New York Times, Halliburton said it would withhold billing for as much as $27.4 million until a debate with the Pentagon was resolved over the cost of supplying meals to troops in Iraq. Yeah, just think about this for a minute. You walk into a 7-Eleven. You take a few candy bars. You leave 25 cents on the counter when you got $3 worth of candy in your hand, and you walk out the door. And the clerk comes running out, going, "Wait a minute, wait a minute, you still owe me $2.75. And you say, "Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's negotiate this. Give me a couple more candy bars. I'll give you another dime. But we'll work it out." You think you could get away with that? It's probably not the best metaphor. I need a little more thought, but you get the point. In addition, the company disclosed last month that two employees had taken kickbacks from a Kuwaiti subcontractor who was providing services to American troops. The company reimbursed the government $6.3 million. So you go back into the 7-Eleven after the guy this is a month after the fact. So let's say that the guy at the 7-Eleven copies down your license plate number, you drive off. Let's say it wasn't three candy bars. Let's say it was half the inventory in the store. We're talking millions of dollars here. It's amazing living in small town Vermont. The headline, this was, I don't know, 8 years ago when we first moved here. We lived in Northfield, a little town south of Montpelier. And the local newspaper is a weekly paper. And the headline, the first week that we lived here, the headline was the story. I don't recall what the headline said, but the headline story, the main story in the newspaper, was about this woman who went to one of these Quick Pick or whatever it's called, Quality Dairy, I think it was, kind of gas station convenience store things, filled up her car with gas, and drove off without paying. And it was one of the ones where, some of them, particularly in small towns, you can't feed the credit card machine into the pump. You got to go inside and pay. And this is one of those ones where you had to go inside and pay. And a clerk comes out and gets her license plate number. And the cops, run it through their system and find out where she lives. And they go to her house. And they arrest her. And they take her down to the police station, and the guy from the gas station comes in, and she pays her $12.75 to him, and they kind of shake hands and say, "Okay, I guess that's the end of that," and he decides not to prosecute. But she could have gone to jail for theft. And her explanation was that she's so used to these machines where you put the credit card in right there at the pump and pump the gas and then drive off that she forgot that she hadn't run the credit card through the pump. I mean, it's a perfectly easy thing to do. She wasn't, she lived in town. She lived like a mile and a half from this place. Everybody knows everybody. She wasn't trying to steal $12 worth of gas. But this was the headline story because it was a crime, right? Okay, so now you got Halliburton stealing $6.3 million. And so the sheriff calls them in, and they say, "Well, you got to give that money back now that we've caught you." And they go, "Oops, okay, sorry, here you go." I guess they just forgot to run the credit card through the pump, The latest controversy remains the debate over whether Kellogg, Brown, and Root, the New York Times says, the Halliburton subsidiary, overcharged the government by $61 million. While importing fuel to Iraq. Yes. I'm telling you, Dick Cheney is not going to be around in 2004. I mean, he'll be around, maybe. I mean, who knows? You know, he's an old guy with a bad ticker. But he's not going to be around on this ticket, on this Republican ticket. And that's one of the reasons, in my opinion, why he's playing attack dog. Why he's going out, he's saying out absolutely outrageous things. You know, oh, we're still going to find those weapons of mass destruction, and the French and the British and the Russians, they all believe that they were there, and even Bill Clinton said they were there. Well, yeah, people thought that Saddam had some weapons and he might be a threat if you invaded him, but none of those people declared war on him. None of them were sufficiently convinced that they would put in harm's way our young men and women. Now the shtick from the right is, how dare you criticize this war? You're harming the memory of those who have died. They tried that during Vietnam. Right, they tried that during Vietnam, and John Kerry in his testimony before Congress, you know, how do you apologize to the last guy who dies for a mistake? Well, in this case, it's not a mistake. It was an intentional lie. For oil, for money. And mostly for political power, because George Bush wanted to be a war president because he thought it would get him reelected. He saw the bounce his daddy got when he went to war with Iraq. This is a disaster. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active. Yeah, you and me, we can make a change in this nation. It's time for us to stop. It's time for Americans to stop thinking that, oh, we just got to leave it to the corporations. We've just got to leave it to faux news. You got to leave it to Peter Jennings. You got to leave it to the politicians. It's time for Americans to get involved in America again. A couple of really interesting things here I want to get through. We were just, first of all, I went on probably at excessive length about Halliburton, but it's an interesting story. And it's one that's not going to go away until Cheney goes away, as I'm predicting. But you know, we'll see. Just you know, hang in there. We're going to have an interesting year. But here you've got, I mean, talk about hypocrisy. Talk about mind-boggling hypocrisy. Last Thursday, a video message went out to 6 million people from the Republican National Committee, or from the Bush-Cheney campaign, saying that John Kerry was a, quote, unprincipled politician brought to you by the special interests, end quote. Now, this is something, you know, Howard Dean raised this. Some would say, unfortunately, I would say, you know, hey, if he hadn't raised it, Bush would have. This gets back to the thing of Democrats beating up on Democrats. There's nothing that they can say about each other that the Republicans won't say. Anyhow, Dean raised this, that Kerry has taken $640,000 since 1989. Is that about 15 years? More than any other senator in what's called hard money. It's where a lobbyist actually writes you a check and says, here's a check, $640,000 in all his years in the Senate. And the Republicans sent out this video. It was on their website, you know, saying that John Kerry is an unprincipled politician brought to you by the special interest. What they failed to point out was that total amount of money, $640,000, that John Kerry took in his whole entire political career is less than the $960,000 in individual contributions from lobbyists that George W. Bush took last year. In 1 year, George Bush took more money from lobbyists than John Kerry took in almost 20 years, and these guys have the gall. Actually, I would say it goes beyond that. They have the assumption that the Republicans to whom they are sending these emails are stupid. That's the bottom line. The Bush-Cheney campaign just assumes that all these guys, that all the men and women who are receiving their emails and looking at their website are stupid. I mean, there's just no other way to explain how they could say that Bush takes $960,000 in 1 year, Kerry takes $640,000 over nearly 20 years, And Kerry's in the pocket of special interests, and Bush isn't. I mean, they must honestly, they must think that Republicans are on drugs or something. Either that, or they really and truly believe in the big lie, that if you lie enough, if you say a lie often enough, over and over again, they've had some experience with that, with this thing. You know, you got most Americans still think Osama had Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. This is just outrageous. This is this goes beyond the height of hypocrisy. Jane in New Mexico, we got you on the line here. I'll pick up your call just on the other side of this break. Hang on, we'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 30 minutes past the hour.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Wabnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Wabnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
and common sense in broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman. WhiteHouseForSale.org is a website that Public Citizen put together that has that that has the information that we've been talking about here. Jill Claybrook, I believe her first name is Jill. Where did it go here? Yeah, Joan Claybrook, I'm sorry. Of Public Citizen said, the Bush administration's record of paying back its campaign contributors is unparalleled. Well, actually, I would say that the Ulysses S. Grant administration was probably equally corrupt. But anyhow, she goes on, Bush's bundlers made out like bandits from the Medicare bill, the pending energy legislation, and the tax cuts targeted toward the wealthiest Americans. Before he starts mudslinging, the president should come clean about his own record. I'm sorry, Joan, but hypocrisy has never stopped these guys before. The truth is not an issue for the Bush administration. It's what they can get away with. That's the bottom line. It's not what's true. It's not what's right. It's what they can get away with. And what they're getting away with is the mortgaging of our America's future, diminishing our credibility and our power around the world, harming this nation, throwing people out of work. It's just, it is mind-boggling. It is true that one party could do so much damage in 3.5 years. I never would have believed it. I honestly never would have believed it. And this is why it's so important that you not just get involved in the presidential election, but that you find out who your senators and your congresspeople are, and you work for to throw out of office conservative Democrats and Republicans who have sold themselves out to corporate interests and are flushing democracy down the toilet in the United States. And who are like Billy Towson in Louisiana, fixing to get into the revolving door. You realize there's 150 former congressmen and senators who are now registered lobbyists in Washington, D.C.? This should be against the law. This is just absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. And we can make a change. Anyhow, we have Jane on the line in New Mexico, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Jane, thanks for waiting over the break there, and welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, you know, everything that you're saying, I don't have to say because that's what I'm thinking. And the thing that I don't understand is how in the world the whole Congress and the Senate could be taken over by one party when we're supposed to have a united party and not a greedy party, and we're supposed to have compromise. But that's not what I called. We're covering everything. Everything that you've just said prior to my conversation with you is absolutely true, and I don't see why people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we've not talked about, and that's about addiction, alcohol addiction, coke addiction, and there's so much of that in this country, and I'm wondering whether we shouldn't have the presidencies checked for that, those who are running for the office and those who are already in office. And we always have that problem about Bush's AOL type thing. Sometimes I wonder, why was he AOL? Was it because he wasn't healthy enough to do what he had to do and he had to go into rehab or something?
Well,
nobody ever says anything like that.
Actually, there's, you know, one of the biographies of him, and a number of articles have been written about this, is that he refused to take his flight physicals because that coincided with the time when they started doing random drug testing.
That's right.
And but, you know, that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Frankly, I'm more concerned with Bush's addiction to telling lies.
Well, he does that, too. He tells you one thing, and he goes and he does the opposite. And what you're saying about the money that he's raised, it's astronomical, and it drives me up a wall when I see what's happening to this country. My blood pressure goes up like crazy. I can't handle it, and I certainly thank you very much for taking my call.
Well, Jane, it's very kind of you to call, and one cure for the blood pressure problem is to get active, is to do something about it. Don't just steam, you know. Contact your elected representatives, write a letter to the local newspaper, call into other talk shows, as well as this one. I mean, I appreciate your call too, but call into the right-wing ones and say, hey, I disagree with what you're saying. And things like that. I mean, there is a lot that we can do. We need to stand up and speak out, and you're doing that, Jane, and I congratulate you for that, and I thank you for that. And in answer to your question, which I think may have been rhetorical, but there's an actual question there, is how did this happen? How did it happen that such a corrupt gang took over the government of the United States as Tom DeLay and George W. Bush and Dick Cheney? It was a synthesis of two things. One, it goes back to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan stopped the enforcement of the Sherman Antitrust Act and other laws similar to it that prevented corporations from getting so large and so powerful that they could not only control markets, but that they could influence democracy. Thomas Jefferson wrote about this at considerable length. I have two books coming out this year. One's going to be out next month called We the People. Another one will be out from Random House on July 4th called A Return to Democracy, Reviving Jefferson's Dream. And I've spent the last 4 years reading the original letters. I mean, not the original pieces of paper, but reading Jefferson's letters, not reading books about him, but actually reading letter after letter after letter that he wrote, getting inside this man's head. And I can tell you, over and over again, he would use the phrase, wealth that is so great it is dangerous to democracy. And he was very concerned about that, and the founders were, and that's why there are no dynasties left over from those times. Well, anyhow, you can place the blame for most of this at the feet of Ronald Reagan and his administration. I mean, Reagan probably was unaware of it. He was half there. But George H.W. Bush was certainly running the show, at least for the last few years of the Reagan administration. And basically, they turned the keys of the kingdom. They took them away from we the people and gave them to the multinational corporations. And as I've said many times, I think corporations are fine things, fine tools to make money. But they are not instruments of governance. There is a separation between the two. Capitalism and free enterprise are economic systems. Democracy is a political system. You know, most people just don't get that. So that's number one, how they did it, is Reagan gave the corporate power, and then you had all this huge media aggregation. And number two, they were willing to lie. George Bush was willing to look the American people in the eye during the election campaign and say that he was a compassionate conservative, that he was not going to do the kinds of right-wing things that he had been accused of, that he was not going to be gutting the Clean Air Act, that he was not going to be turning over our public lands to the timber industry. He was just willing to lie. And frankly, he continues to do it at such a startling and amazing rate in this interview with Diane Sawyer. You know, we had a whole program here where we just deconstructed all the lies in there, that I think that it's just more convenient for him. It's, you know, I don't want to psychoanalyze him, but anyhow, Roberta in New Mexico is on the line. Roberta, what are your thoughts on all this?
Oh, hi, Tom. You're right on. Right on, Cachetón.
Thank you.
I wanted to just say two words, and then if you'll let me make my point, because I'm sure you're going to come up with a lot of reasons why it can't be applied. The words are eminent domain. You know, I just don't understand why this supposedly mistake, which I have a hard time believing the clerk made, when he, I wonder who paid him, to make this convenient.
Well, he was a former railroad president himself. Surprise, okay. Surprise. And before that, he was the Undersecretary of State in the Ulysses S. Grant administration, and he was one of the many officials in the Grant administration who had to leave the administration because of the railroad bribery scandals.
Oh, see? Well, I haven't read your book, but I probably should, because I'm sure it's accurate. But I don't understand why we can't retract or impeach that article that was supposedly a mistake in the first place. I think the concept of eminent domain, which to my understanding and my recent studies of trying to be creative and finding solutions where we can peaceably overthrow this transgression, this exploitation that's criminal and a perversion of the system.
Personhood you're talking about.
The
corporate personhood is what you're talking about. The idea that corporations should have human rights like people do.
Yes. Why can't this be overthrown, this concept that was a mistake? Because, you know, the concept of eminent domain, the precedent of eminent domain, says that when a private property, such as Halliburton, has it should be condemned. And I think figuratively condemned for its incursions of egregious exploitation, criminal exploitation.
Well, you're getting close, the president over we the people. Yeah, you're getting close. Actually, the main concept, and I'm not an attorney, but I have researched this fairly thoroughly, and I actually give speeches at law schools on this. Broadly, the concept of eminent domain goes back to the notion that we the people own the nation, and that even when you own private property, you don't actually own it, technically. You're leasing it from the government because you're paying property tax on it. And if you fail to pay the property tax, they come and take it away from you. So, you know, at the very ultimate sense, because none of us live forever, right? And anyhow, there's all this. And so eminent domain is when the good of the public is greater than the good of the individuals, then the good of the public will trump that of the individuals. So if we need to put a roadway or a railroad or a power line through your backyard, and it's going to benefit a whole lot of people, then the harm that it'll do you is relatively smaller, and we will reimburse you for that harm. Now that's you know, I'm not sure how that could be applied to things like Halliburton and corporate personhood, but I want to tell you and encourage you, and maybe this, hopefully you'll consider this good news, Roberta, that there is an entire movement in the United States to roll back corporate personhood. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has declared a 3-year campaign. I have one of their bumper stickers on the back seat on the back of my car. It says abolish corporate personhood. The Women's International League is the oldest and in my opinion, one of the most credible women's rights organizations in the United States. It was founded by Jane Addams back in the early 20th century, late 19th century, and was in part responsible for the whole women's suffrage movement and the women's right to vote, and, you know, the passage of the 20th Amendment, as I recall. And the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has declared this campaign. You can find information about it on their website at WILPF, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, .org. ReclaimDemocracy.org has a campaign going on this. You can find information about that at ReclaimDemocracy.org. Ronnie Duggar's organization, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it right now, but it's out there. They're getting into this. The city of Point Arena, California, has declared a resolution saying corporations are not persons. 10 communities in Pennsylvania have actually passed laws saying corporations are not persons. There's a movement in Arizona that the Green Party is heading up to abolish corporate personhood. Matt Gonzalez of the San Francisco Board of Commissioners, who just unsuccessfully ran for mayor, is very favorable to this. We've had meetings. I haven't had meetings with him, but people working on this issue have. So there is this whole movement in the United States to take back human rights, because right now it's just it's the Alliance for Democracy. Thank you, Louise. The Alliance for Democracy is Ronnie Duggar's organization. They're on this topic. There's this whole movement to take this back. And in fact, when Nike tried to argue in April before the Supreme Court that they had the right to lie because as a corporation they were a person, we participated through ReclaimDemocracy.org, Jeff Milchen's organization. We participated in writing an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, to the Supreme Court justices, informing them that their interpretation of the 1886 case was based on the headnote, not on the case. In other words, they hadn't bothered to do their own homework. And for the first time in decades, the court, all of a sudden, in the middle of a hearing, the Supreme Court said, we just decided we're not going to take this case anymore, which they just never do. And I'm convinced it's because we shocked them, and they realized that if they actually did roll back the 1886 case, it would create the repercussions would be mind-boggling, and they didn't want to take it on. And so does that give you any encouragement, Roberta?
Oh, it does wonders. But there's one more point, Tom, I wanted to make. If we could use that invoke eminent domain against an exorbitantly egregious corporation like Halliburton, we could condemn it for its actions and then use its assets into the public domain to provide jobs, to health care, education. You know, that concept of eminent domain is endless in doing such in taking the funds, especially our tax dollars that have gone illegally, and they've usurped our they've usurped our system.
Well, there's a big movement in California around UNICAL, as I recall, to do this, to pull their corporate charter, actually, is the way that you do it. You get the attorney. See, corporations can only be created by a state government, not by the federal government. And up until the 1890s, every corporate charter had to say, as its first purpose of existence, that it existed to serve the public good. And its second purpose of existence was to make money doing thus and so, whatever they did, you know, running a railroad or whatever. And during the charter mongering era, led by, you know, as a result of mostly John Rockefeller's activities, most of the states removed that kind of language. But all states still have provisions in their corporate charter laws that allow the attorney general of a state to pull the charter of a corporation and dissolve it. Elliot Spitzer's talked about doing this in New York. There's a citizens' grassroots movement to do it in California with one of the oil companies out there. And I'd encourage you to check into that and learn more about that. Roberta, thanks for the call. We got to move along. This is Tom Hartman. It's 10 minutes before the hour here on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars. This is Tom Hartman. And Rob Call from Op-Ed News is on the line. Hey, Rob, had a great time at your conference there in California last week.
Oh, good. Well, it was a lot of fun. It was great having you there and great having you broadcast from there, too.
That was a hoot.
I'm calling because you were talking about how the people who Bush is saying that Kerry has special interests, you know, that whole issue.
Yeah. The height of hypocrisy.
Well, the way they're doing it is with fog.
Yeah,
they're trying to fog up the issue by saying that people who are anti-abortion or people who are pro-worker or pro-teacher, that these are special interests too. Now,
well, that's part of it. The main thing that they're doing is they're assuming that most people don't know the difference between hard money contributions from lobbyists and PAC money and soft money. And the fact of the matter is most people don't. I mean, most people don't understand this stuff. Because if you look at the money that John Kerry gets in total from because he doesn't take PAC money, in total from, quote, special interests, end quote. And we're talking mostly corporate special interests here. He's actually, out of 100 senators, he's like number 96 or something. He's fairly low down there because he doesn't take PAC money, never has. But because he has taken the hard money contributions from lobbyists, which everybody's pretty much capable of doing, he's right up at the top, and that's what they're using. That's what Howard Dean pointed out.
And that's where there's all the confusion, and they're arguing that on all of their echo chambers, you know, Fox.
Oh yeah. They're just going to keep on assuming, and probably correctly, that most Americans don't understand the difference between hard money, soft money, a PAC money from a lobbyist, and so they, you know, people are going to assume that the $600,000 that Kerry took over the career from lobbyists, over the career, his career as a senator. Is somehow more significant than the $1 million a day that George Bush gets when he shows up at one of these taxpayer-funded events. It's just incredible. Rob, thanks for the call. Dave in California, sorry I didn't get to your call. If you want to hang up and call back after the top of the hour, we'll pick you up on the next hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 2 minutes before the hour, the true people's radio.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Americans' continued worries about jobs and the economy, along with a decreasing belief that Iraq posed an immediate threat to the U.S., has weakened support for George W. Bush and given his Democratic opponents an advantage. Most Americans also believe that the Bush administration exaggerated the pre-war intelligence about Iraqi weapons and that Bush's self-described status as a war president was brought on by his own choices, not forced upon him by world events. Registered voters now give a 5-point lead to an unnamed Democratic candidate over George W. Bush. By 47% to 42%, registered voters now say they would support a Democrat over the Republican president. A student group at Roger Williams University in Rhode Island is offering a new scholarship for which only white students are eligible, a move they say is designed to protest affirmative action. The application for the $50 award requires an essay on why you are proud of your white heritage and a recent picture to confirm whiteness. Evidence of bleaching will disqualify applicants, says the application, issued by the university's College Republicans. It's not the first brush with controversy for the group. The school temporarily froze the Republicans' money in the fall during a fight over a series of articles published in its monthly newsletter. One article alleged that a gay rights group indoctrinates students into homosexual sex. British medical experts expressed concern on Monday at a new and apparently legal trend towards snorting alcohol, using a tube in the mouth in order to inhale the drug. Oliver James, head of a clinical medical services at Newcastle University, said by snorting the alcohol, it can go directly into the brain without being filtered by the liver. What is getting into your brain could be the equivalent of many times more than by drinking it, said the professor. Those using a new device known as an alcohol without liquid, AWOL vaporizer, would get drunk more quickly, but would also suffer irreversible damage to nerves that could lead to swelling and possibly dementia in the longer term, said James.
More after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
You can now have your very own Navy F/A-18A Hornet jet fighter, but some assembly may be required. The price for the jet, which formerly belonged to the Navy's Blue Angels aerial demonstration team, is just over $1 million on the auction firm eBay, or about $9 million for a buyer who wants it assembled, painted, and certified ready to fly. Only legal U.S. residents can bid. The auction is scheduled to end Thursday.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think that Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, and gang are just not corporate enough, not right-wing enough, not bizarre enough, not nasty enough, then you might make a good member of the Club for Growth. This is the goofy group that recently ran a TV ad declaring that the moderately progressive Democrat, Howard Dean, should, quote, take his tax-hiking, government-expanding, sushi-eating, Volvo-driving, New York Times-reading, body-piercing, Hollywood-loving, left-wing freak show back to Vermont, where it belongs. Whew, that's a lot of voters to offend in one breath. Even a lot of Republicans eat sushi, drive Volvos, read the New York Times, live in Vermont, and go to Hollywood movies. But the Club for Growth won't cut you any slack for being a Republican. They're after ideological anti-government purity. For example, CFG hates Republicans who dare to question George W.'s tax giveaway to the rich. And they've singled out the maverick conservative Senator John McCain for retribution, saying they'll recruit a far-right winger to oppose him in this year's Republican primary. How loopy are they? CFG's founder, Steve Moore, wants to shut down the education, commerce, labor, and agriculture departments. He calls senior citizens, who weathered the Depression and fought World War II, the most selfish group in America today. And he's warned that CFG will work to defeat any Republican who supports any tax increase for any purpose, declaring, if you're a Republican, you aren't allowed to vote for taxes. They enthusiastically embrace George W., calling him Reagan's third term. Interesting. This smaller government clique, funded by Wall Street executives, embraces the two presidents who've done the most in the past 30 years to plunge America into a sea of red ink, increase the size of government, and expand the power of oppressive federal agencies to intrude into our private lives. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe that's what they mean by growth.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, my friends. We have, I want to share with you in just a minute, a letter by Maury Crail, who was the battalion executive officer of the 2nd and 12th Cavalry Battalion of the 1st Air Cavalry Division during the assault on Khe Sanh. This is back in the 1960s when Max Cleland lost two legs and an arm. And the response that he wrote to his son, that his son posted on BuzzFlash as a BuzzFlash reader commentary, about Ann Coulter's despicable suggestion that we should stop calling Max Cleland a war hero just because he lost a few limbs in Vietnam, or words to that effect. But before we do that, Dave has been kind enough to call back here at the other end of the hour. And hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Dave. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, by the way, for anybody else who wants to call. What's up?
Tom, I think you have a wonderful program and you're providing a hope to us. You know, I think we're a very gullible, vulnerable people, Republicans in particular. It's so easy to be stupid and misinformed, but What I wanted,
you know,
to talk
Dave,
to you.
Dave, I got to just, and pardon my interrupting you, but you know, I think the problem isn't so much that, that people are stupid. I think that the Rove and company are treating them as if they are, but I think the real problem is that this economy is so bad that people are working so hard. I mean, you got more than half of America's children come home to an empty house. People are working so hard they don't have time to really pay attention to the events, to the news. And then you've got news divisions of major multinational corporations that are now operated under the entertainment function of those. I mean, it ain't your Walter Cronkite news. You know, it's not your father's news. And so we're getting less information, number one. But number two, and perhaps most important, people just don't have the time to absorb it. And it's a national tragedy, and it's the direct result of conservative policies. Pardon my interruption.
At the risk of being a bit of a conspiracy theorist, I do believe that it's been a burden on the exploitative class for an awful long time. I think the plantation owners of the South needed to convince their slaves that they lived under the most desirable of all systems.
Sure.
Anyway, the most important issue that I feel you will be the one to tackle is Ron Wyden, a senator from Oregon and an awfully good man, as I'm able to determine, is proposing a measure to try to get the federal high-tech government goons out of the election business. I think that we presently have a president and an administration in position, largely because they were able to rig the electronic election devices. You know, I'm one of the people that now feels a bit stupid myself walking into polling booths knowing that what I do may have nothing to do with what my vote comes out to read.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say that these high-tech characters are able to now rig whatever they choose to have outcomes as they were. If you remember Florida, it ultimately did go to Gore, but it was strongly for him, and enough so that all of the networks said, we are now calling Florida for Al Gore, and old man Bush said, wait a minute, we don't accept that. And it was a deja vu for me the other day listening to Tim Russert interviewing Bush, and the polls are going against you, are you prepared to lose? Oh, that isn't going to happen, was in effect his answer.
Right.
He's saying, I know that if the people aren't move to vote for me, we have other means to make sure that I stay in office. And
well, in Florida, we just had a judge, presumably a political appointee of the Republican machine down there, the Bush machine, rule that Florida voting machines don't have to produce paper ballots or paper auditable paper trails, that that people are not harmed by not being able to have their vote audited.
Yeah, well, I can see that we can scratch Florida off the list of credible states that are going to participate in this election. Because
and Georgia, I think, in the last election, I am convinced that Max Cleland actually won that election because the polls clearly showed that he won by the percentage that his opponent got the vote. And
I wonder if you could get your news people to get a hold of Senator Wyden's office and see if we can't make this something that will educate us real quick, because I think most people are going to be terribly gullible, walk into the polling booth believing that how they vote is how their vote is going to be counted, only to learn, maybe never learn. That it's been
people are waking up, Dave. I wrote a piece about this almost 2 years ago for CommonDreams.org about the same time Bev Harris was starting her black box voting research, right after she had discovered the Rob Georgia folder in the Diebold website, FTP site, and outing Chuck Hagel. And his Chuck Hagel's office sent a guy over to the Hill and actually threatened a reporter there. Please don't report this story. The Hill is a Washington D.C. publication, and that article, which is I forget the title of it, but if you go to TomHartmann.com and just click Articles on Democracy, you'll find three or four articles I've written over the last 2 years on electronic voting. And that article really kickstarted a whole bunch of stuff. And then the Common Dreams folks, not Common Dreams, the MoveOn.org folks asked me to write a piece about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago that they mailed out to 1.6 million people, which was a summary, a roundup piece of all the shenanigans that have gone on around the country. And so there's a lot of people who are very sensitized to this, not just as a result of my efforts. I can only speak to mine, but I mean, you know, a lot of other people are writing about this. It's not a secret anymore. I like to think that I had some role in kicking open the door of the news media on this. But Representative Rush Holt has placed legislation in the House of Representatives, and the fellow you're talking about, did he put something in on the Senate that mirrors Holt's bill? Is that
well? That's what I've heard. Senator yeah. Ron Wyden, who is yeah. one excellent senator. I mean, I'm suspicious of anybody that's an elected politician, but I think this man is trying to honestly do something good here. I heard one of the wonderful quotes from Al Sharpton the other time said he got us into this war on misinformation and false pretext as he got himself into office on misinformation and false
pretext. Here, who is a computer expert, talking about whether it's possible to hack a computer-controlled voting machine, which is a no-brainer, and she had to show up. I mean, she would have anyway, because she's a good person, and she's, you know, Vermont politics is very local. But I would say, you know, a much larger state, you know, and she showed up. And she was absolutely shocked. I know, because I know her, and we met and we talked before the event started, and she was like, well, I'm changing my mind on this, and I think we've got to do some things to protect, but I still don't think that it's all that big an issue. I'm not quoting her verbatim, but, and then she sat down, and 150 people or so showed up, and this is a town of 9,000 people, Montpelier, Vermont. We're the capital, the smallest capital in the United States, the only one without a McDonald's. And to get 100 people to show up at the Unitarian Church basement on a night when it was 22 degrees below zero is a big deal. And half of those people were, like, yelling. I mean, they were angry. And by the end of that hour, she was shaken. And I got an email from her a week later saying, I've completely reconsidered this. We are going to do something about this. She's getting together with the county clerks. I mean, she's all of a sudden, she's proactive. And it's because a couple of local people who, you know, and, you know, not big shot politicians or anything. I mean, I know one of them works at a
gas station. To turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today, or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All that you touch and all that you see, all that you taste, all you feel, and all that you love and all that you hate, all you distrust, all you say. And all that you deal, and all
back, and all that you've got and all you can do and all the energy you have and all the enthusiasm you have, you can bring it to reviving and revitalizing democracy in the United States of America. It's something that's absolutely essential. Here we have now a federal prosecutor, U.S. Attorney Richard Convertino of Detroit, has sued John Ashcroft. You get this? A federal prosecutor is suing the Attorney General for gross mismanagement and for basically for trying to intimidate this guy. I'll tell you about this story after I take a couple of calls here. This is incredible. This administration is unraveling at the seams, and the reason why is because they are so corrupt and they are so committed to a policy of intimidation and threat, ruled by intimidation. This is the conservative mindset of power from the top down. Watch out for the rabble. You got to keep them uninformed. Keep them afraid, and keep your thumb on them. And I'll get to this in a little bit. Anyhow, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Margaret in New Mexico has been patiently waiting. Hey, Margaret, thanks for calling the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, good afternoon, Tom. I was wondering if you had any ideas about what might be done to get UN voter observance here in the United States.
I know. We need Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I absolutely agree. In fact, I suggested that a year and a half ago in one of the op-ed pieces I wrote.
Well, is it feasible? Is it something we can really do? I'm sure it would be a huge embarrassment to this administration if it were even called on.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not feasible and it's not practical. It's not going to happen. It would require it's the sort of because the United States is on the Security Council and they can basically veto anything. It's a non-starter. I don't remember now. It was over a year ago I wrote this thing, and a friend of mine who is knowledgeable about how the UN works, which I confess not to be particularly, called me up and said, "Let me tell you about this." He says, "There's no way you couldn't, even with a citizen's petition, even if the legislators of the nation asked for it." It's not going to happen.
Okay. It's a good idea anyway.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we can dream. But see, what I suggest as an alternative, Margaret, is that the party that seems to be getting the short end of the stick in all this stuff, which is the Democratic Party right now. I mean, in Texas, you had a whole bunch of different in the 2002 election, there were three different, in one county, Comal County, three different conservative candidates, two Republicans and a judge that was nonpartisan, but he was the conservative candidate, who won with 18,181 votes exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, this is just statistically impossible. And you've got all these anomalies that are coming out of these voting machines. You had down in Alabama, you had the governor who, you know, overnight the voting machine lost I forget how many thousand, but 12, 15, 18,000 votes, something like that. And he went to bed thinking, the Democrat thinking that he won, and he woke up discovering that the voting machines had given the thing to the Republican. And it wasn't that they'd, you know, counted more votes. It was that they just changed the thing. He tried to sue. All the talk radio guys and the TV stations in Alabama came on the, you know, went and said, "Hey, he's just whining, he's a loser," you know, and the courts wouldn't let him sue. I mean, so anyhow, my suggestion is get the aggrieved party, which is the Democratic Party right at the moment, to do their own poll watching, you know, running exit polls. Let's actually, as if we were the UN, do this, number one. Number two, we need to wake up Republicans to the fact that if corrupt Democrats, and there certainly is a history of corrupt Democrats in this country, just as well as there is of corrupt Republicans. If corrupt Democrats ever got complete control, did the Republicans really want the voting machines to be that insecure? I think not. And so we need to be waking up both sides on this. That's my suggestion. Margaret, thanks for the call. Paul in Detroit, Roy in Rio Ridge, Rancho, hang on. We'll pick up your calls on the other side of the break. It's 29 minutes past the hour. This is Tom Hartman. You're listening to the IE America Radio Network, and we shall return.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A new report shines some light on the business of selling fish and coral for home aquariums. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The United Nations Environment Program has conducted a comprehensive study of the worldwide trade in aquarium fish and other marine creatures. The report is called From Ocean to Aquarium, and the UN says it's the first of its kind. The report gives estimates of how many fish are caught and sold, and which species are most popular, and how they're shipped to market. Colette Wabnitz is a marine biologist, and she worked on the report. Wabnitz says the global trade in fish, coral, and other marine animals is worth as much as $300 million a year. Two of the most popular species are clown anemone fish and blue-green damselfish, but the business really covers more than 2,000 different species. Wabnitz says most aquarium fish come from Southeast Asia, and a lot are collected in ways that destroy the coral reefs where they live. In some cases, fishermen use explosives or cyanide to stun fish and bring them to the surface. Wabnitz says a lot of fish suffer when they're shipped to market, and a large percentage die in the midst of transport.
If the transport is really long, and then they sit around for ages at different airports, then stress is going to be quite high, and then the oxygen concentrations is going to decrease, so the fish are going to be even more stressed, and they can die.
Wabnitz says there is some good news. She says more and more people in the aquarium fish business are adopting practices that are better for the environment and better for fish. A group called the Marine Aquarium Council now certifies fish collectors who do not harm reefs and who do follow safe shipping and handling practices. Wabnitz encourages aquarium owners who are shopping for fish to look for the certification from the Marine Aquarium Council. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Casey joins the hollow sound of silent people walking down the stairway to the subway in the shadows down below. Following the footsteps through the neon darkened corridors of silent desperation, never speaking to a soul. The poisoned air he's breathing has the dirty smell of dying, 'cause it's never seen the sunshine and it's never felt the rain.
Johnny Cash,
what a singer, and a truly amazing man.
Anyhow, you're back. We're back. This is Tom Hartman. It's 26 minutes before the hour, and I guess we still want to talk a little bit about these voting machines here. Paul in Detroit is on the line. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind?
Well, Tom, I'll be concise. On February the 8th, the New York Times editors reported that the Bush budget had put the Help America Vote Act at the bottom of the list for funding, and that there is so little money that the Election Assistance Commission has a skeleton staff, they're in a borrowed office, and they literally cannot do anything. They can't communicate with the states. They can't file with the register, the Federal Register. Any election bill that goes through Congress and is signed by this president means nothing.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. And I understand, from the last time I talked to Rebecca Mercury, this was a couple, maybe 2 months ago, that the chairman to that commission has still not been appointed, a permanent chairman.
Yeah, right. It's just a skeletal staff. The editorial said that it was at the bottom of the budget for funding. So that's what they think of democracy.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we can see what they think of democracy on so many different levels. It is an absolute tragedy. Paul, thanks for pointing that out. Yep, amazing. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. That's 1-800-825-5937. And Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Roy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hey.
Well, actually, this whole electronic voting thing might have picked up overdrive last night.
How so?
excuse me. I forget the lady's name from Black Box.
That's Bev Harris.
Me.
That's quite all right. You need one of those cough buttons like we got here.
I know. She was on Coast to Coast, the Art Bell predecessor or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
For at least an hour, maybe more. I was so tired I couldn't go to sleep, so I was listening to it, and unfortunately I was kind of drifting in and out as I was listening to her.
Yeah, Bev is great. I've had her on the air three times in the last year. She's become a pretty good friend. Boy, has she taken some abuse. I mean, she's been threatened. She's been,
That was what she was talking about last night, and, you know, that just ratcheted it up again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as wacko as that guy is sometimes, he sure has an audience.
Yeah.
So the word's getting out. The word's getting out. We're going down to Heather Wilson's office tomorrow to talk about the deception with the Medicare.
Now, who's Heather Wilson?
Well, unfortunately, she's our representative. She's not my representative. She's not representing me, but she...
She's your congressperson?
My representative, yeah.
You're a member of the United States House of Representatives.
Unfortunately, she is the representative from Congressional District 1 here in New Mexico.
And she's a Republican?
Yeah. Hmm. And... But I'm carrying a petition with about 130 names down for the black box to support Russ Holtz's bill.
Yeah.
And hopefully I'll get it up to a couple hundred if I get done in time this afternoon to...
Well, try and get as many people as you can to go with you to that meeting, too. That was one of the points Bernie Sanders made.
With the move on, they're doing a thing tomorrow to go down and talk about Medicare.
Hmm.
I'm going to personally hand the... I'm going to walk out of the Medicare meeting and turn right around and walk in and hand her the petition for Rush to get behind Rush Holtz's bill.
Yeah,
so,
good.
And, you know, there's some action, but good. I don't know if it's going to be enough, but by God, they're not going to stop me from trying.
There you go, Roy. And see, this is what gives me so much optimism, as I am hearing this all across America. I haven't been hearing it for the last 10, 15 years. I mean, people have been very apathetic. People have been busy. But I think that people are getting fired up and they're getting active. And God bless you, Roy. That is great. I wish you well. Call us and report back. Let us know what happened, if you would, please. So... I guess Roy has already hung up, but please let us know what happened. Okay, here we've got this story. Louise just handed this to me in USA Today. Prosecutor in terror case controversy sues John Ashcroft. Apparently, Ashcroft... Well, I'll just... here's the story. Byline Washington, Associated Press story. A federal prosecutor in a major terrorism case in Detroit has taken the rare step of suing Attorney General John Ashcroft, alleging the Justice Department interfered with the case, compromised a confidential informant, and exaggerated results in the war on terrorism. Surprise, surprise! Assistant U.S. Attorney General Richard Convertino of Detroit accused the Justice Department of, quote, gross mismanagement, end quote, of the war on terrorism in a whistleblower lawsuit he filed late Friday in federal court in Washington. The suit is the latest twist in the Bush administration's first major post-9/11 prosecution, terrorism prosecution, which is now in danger of unraveling over allegations of prosecutorial misconduct. It's like, you know, they want us to be terrified. They got to hype this thing. I mean, okay, Bill Clinton could have done it with what's his name, the guy, you know, the guy, the Kansas City bomber, in the Murrah Federal Building, Tim McVeigh. Bill Clinton could have done it with Tim McVeigh, and said, you know, we got to watch out, Americans. There's more of them terrorists out there, and the reality is there are. I mean, there really are American citizens who are hoarding weapons and guns and reading that book that Tim McVeigh had read, the Turner Diaries, about how, you know, when enough of the good white Christians rise up, you know, they're going to take back America and all this kind of stuff. I mean, there are true believers out there. You get the Christian Identity Movement. You've got, I mean, there's some serious folks who believe in the violent overthrow of the United States government, and they're still there. And Bill Clinton could have taken that bombing, and truth be told, he did get through some legislation that I think eroded our rights to some extent, but he could have turned this into a whole full-blown, we got this, we got terrorism, we got domestic enemies, and turned it into, he could have done the same thing with it that Joe McCarthy did with the Army hearings in the 1950s. Was it 54? I don't remember. I was 3 years old in 54, so whatever year it was. And he could have done the same thing and thrown America into a state of constant and perpetual terror. But instead, he chose to say, no, this guy's a criminal. We need to treat him like a criminal. You know, build a case, put him in jail. Well, he ultimately actually even got the death penalty. End of case. And yes, there are people out there who don't believe in American democracy, who don't believe in a pluralistic society, who don't believe who do believe that only white Anglo-Saxon Protestants should be in charge. And you'd be surprised how many there are out there. I mean, they've got all kinds of websites and stuff. And, you know, we could whip up fear about that, but, you know, government's actually, over the years, done a fairly reasonable job of trying to get a handle on this without turning into a big hysteria thing. But George Bush came into office without a majority. Well, he didn't even have a plurality of votes, for that matter. He didn't have the most votes, less than 50%. He came into office viewed by many people as an illegitimate president. And as James Madison said back in the 1780s, war is the great seducer of presidents. And little George, young George, had seen how his father's popularity spiked when he repelled Saddam Hussein from Iraq. The fact that we had invited Saddam, I'm sorry, Kuwait. The fact that we had invited Saddam to invade Kuwait. Our U.S. envoy, April Gillespie, had explicitly told Saddam, was in the news. Everybody knew about it, but it was one of these one-day stories. The American people kind of overlooked it. The incubator baby stories, you know, the Iraqi army in Kuwait City, they're taking babies from incubators and throwing the babies on the ground and stealing the incubators to take them back to Baghdad. Turns out it was a lie. It's not to say the Iraqi army behaved itself well. I mean, conquering armies are not noted for their manners, and the Iraqis were no exception. They were particularly brutal in Kuwait. But George Bush, the younger, saw that the elder was able to, you know, and then after the war, George Bush the elder said to the Shiite Muslims, the 60% majority of Iraq in the south, essentially, if you all rise up against Saddam, we'll protect you. And they did. And we did not protect them. And Saddam did what pretty much any dictator is going to do. And for that matter, what a lot of democracies would do if they had an internal insurrection. He put it down. And he put it down brutally. He murdered perhaps hundreds of thousands of people. Because George Bush Sr., George Herbert Walker Bush, did not keep his word to the Shia. And Junior saw all this. He saw, hey, you can lie to the American people. You can lie to the people of another country. You can take actions that lead to hundreds of thousands of unnecessary deaths. But if it looks like you won a war, everybody loves you. And this is why on this TV interview a week or so ago, George Jr. here, he says, you got to remember, I'm a war president. See, that's the thing he's got to hang his hat on. Because the rules become different during times of war. But if we're at war, what country are we at war against? In order to have a war, you have to have a country. To have a real war on the other end. I mean, you can have rhetorical wars. You can have a war on drugs. You can have a war on poverty. You can have a war on crime. You can have a war on illiteracy. Everybody understands these are just rhetorical. It's just words. They're just rhetorical devices. They're just ways of saying, you know, I'm serious about this. But young George, you know, he went into Afghanistan after bin Laden. After the Taliban had already indicated that they were willing to turn over bin Laden. No, that wasn't good enough. Got to have a war. And boom, his popularity spiked. He's a man's man. And now the Taliban, of course, is back. The opium poppy crop is larger than it has ever been in the history of Afghanistan. There is some hope. I mean, I don't want to paint it altogether bleak. Hamid Karzai, certainly a better man than Ahmad Chalabi, the convicted bank swindler that we've put in charge of Iraq. And there's, you know, wouldn't it be nice if some sort of democracy could emerge in Afghanistan? But the trends are all showing that that is not the case, that that's not what's going to be going on. And so, you know, Bush is just hyping this thing as hard as he can to get reelected. I'm telling you, this is his thing. I'm a war president. You got to understand, I'm a war president. I got to make tough decisions. At war with whom? Well, terrorists. Oh, you mean like Tim McVeigh? We got terrorists. No, it's a other religion. I remember somebody else who came up with an idea like that. And the people of Germany followed him for about 7 years. U.S. Administrator, this from the American Progress, Center for American Progress, U.S. Administrator L. Paul Bremer announced yesterday that while the interim constitution, quote, would make Islam the state religion and a source of inspiration for the law, end quote, it would not be the main source for law in Iraq. Underscoring the ongoing problems the U.S. faces in the transference of power in Iraq, the president of the Iraqi Governing Council and a Sunni Muslim hardliner, Moshe Abdelhamid, has advocating making Islamic law the principal basis of legislation. You get this? These guys want to turn Iraq into... They want to have Sharia law. They like Saudi Arabia. Women can't drive. They have to be veiled. They can't vote. They can't participate. They can't hold jobs. And what's so, you know, remarkable, I mean, you know, is many Muslims around the world will tell you that this is not Quranic. This is really not. This is just interpretive. But anyhow, Bremer says, you know, it can't be law until I sign it. We're not going to do it. But this looks like it's coming to a head. This is going to be a tough one. And this is exactly what the people who were saying don't invade Iraq were warning them. Here we go again. This is Tom Hartman, 10 minutes before the hour. Stay tuned. I'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
this
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is oh, like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Jing, jing, jing.
Some interesting rumors in our chat room. You can get to the chat room, go to TomHartman.com and just click on the chat room. It's open and live while we're on the air, noon to 3 Eastern time. And a couple of folks posting some interesting information about the possibility of George Walker Bush, our current president, could he have a Canadian gay lover? Very interesting. It's just a question. I'm not making the assertion. I'm not suggesting it. I'm sure, in fact, that this rumor is probably not true. But you can get all the details in the chat room. You can just drop in there and find out. Here's more evidence that Halliburton misuses your money. Halliburton embroidered towels sold to the U.S. military with a logo of the subsidiary, even though the initials, according to Henry Bunting, the former KBR procurement employee, more than tripled the price of the towel. The overpriced towels were one of many examples Mr. Bunting cited as he described a crony corporate culture where employees routinely disregarded costs because they were passed on to the federal government. SUVs, for example, were leased for $7,500 a month. $7,500 a month they're leasing cars for? I mean, you could buy a... Mr. Bunting was also encouraged, quote, to break supply orders down into increments of $2,500 or less so that they do not have to be bid for competitively under Pentagon rules, end quote. Oh, my. And the attacks on Max Cleland continue. Right-wing columnist Mark Stein has taken up Ann Coulter's hate-filled diatribe against war hero Max Cleland. It wasn't in combat, he says. He was working on a radio relay station. He saw a grenade dropped by one of his colleagues and bent down to pick it up. Yes. This is just outrageous. Outrageous. We are going to take back America. We are, my friends. We are going to... Democracy is going to survive. It must. Too much is at stake for it not to. Thanks to Brad Walrod for editing our music. Louise Hartman for producing the program here in Vermont. Special thanks to Shar Jones for engineering it in Detroit and running the board, answering the phones. Thanks to the folks in our chat room for passing along those little tips about George W. and everything else. Thanks to you for listening. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Talk, not your father's radio.